That's why I'm all in bed. Nobody can.
Hello and welcome back to our podcast, but a fanfic of a fanfic that itself is a synthesis of Fallout, the popular game mode of a post-apocalyptic wasteland, and My Little Pony, a popular show about pastel horses. Hi, I'm Fi. I'm joined once again with my co-host, Weird. Say hello, Weird.
Oh, no, all you got today is an old jelly brains. It's just dumb old jelly brains. but when the brains are more congealed, they identify as one Sir Weirdington Esquire.
At least you can manage the energy for that.
Yeah, both of us are a little underslept. This week, this go around, still trying to build that Patreon. It's a little hard, like, you gotta do work. And, I kind of want it to be presentable before trying to present it to people and like, hate asking for money, period. Just a thing that I'm uncomfortable with. Yeah, that's going, and also I'm really embarrassed by last week. The recording environment I was in was in excess of 95 degrees throughout most of the recording, and toward the end there, astute listeners will notice that my brains did liquefy, and I completely forgot who we were talking about at one point. I confused Usury with her father?
Yes. Finders Keepers.
Yeah, Finders Keepers. And today I tried to listen to last week's episode again so that I could have a more coherent recap for this week. But guess what? Jelly brains. So, let's work together, you and I, Fi, my dear co-host, to try and re-piece, reverse engineer.
We might be able to come together. Last week. We might be able to come together and form one entire brain cell.
All right. The week before last ended with Gloria falling. The fallen Glory falling to her death in a deep chasmous pit. But surprise, surprise! Inexplicably beneath that pit was a polite Nazi. Light hooves, in power armor, waiting there, beneath the Earth's crust, for reasons that I've never explained. And there, he presumably rescues the fallen, and makes a bargain with her, then in exchange for, most of their MacGuffins, but not the Maltese.exe. He'll let them both, like he'll save them both, and then let them go on their way, but not before he makes them listen to an hour of additional lore dump that will never be relevant
or interesting or compelling.
Except that he demonstrates how Carl Schmitt's friend enemy distinction works by explaining his plan to save the more liberal component of the Hoofed Waffen. To prevent a Night of the Long Knives, he is conspiring to totally obliterate all life on the surface. Turn it all into cannibalistically insane reapers, meaning that all of for like maybe a year or two, the high command will be too distracted shooting zombies to purge the dissident wing of their own command structure, and no member of the cast can put forward a meaningfully, like, sound argument against his reasoning.
Which is brain dead, because we know through this story and the original story that, like, the Enclave can't last more than a couple more decades because they're just physically running out of farmable food and land. So they, like, need to, like, interact with the outside world, but, like, you know, can't. So this plan is the dumbest, it's the stupidest it's ever been.
It will ensure that there is no outside world left.
Yes.
But everyone is dumb. Everyone is too dumb to, like, present a cogent argument along those lines. And so they all that is left to them is to congratulate Lighthooves on being a very smart, rational logic boy.
Yes.
Horse Shapiro shall be his name henceforth.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was, like, struggling to come up with some pun there, but nah, it's not coming to me.
Horse Shapiro. Very, very fond of Western horse civilization. I'm trying to think of, like, some way of equating, like, the fucking current crypto Nazi meme, pseudo-intellectual meme of Athens and Jerusalem into horse language, but I don't know the
proper nomenclature.
Yeah, the proper, like, horse subcultural like things.
And I don't want to have to explain a bunch of zebra mythology to try and make sense of it all. So you know.
What's the capital of Equestria? What's the, like,
The capital of Equestria is Canterlot.
So the two great cities, Canterlot and Zebra Town, whatever.
Rome, but spelled ROAM.
Yeah. Ah!
Ah! Yeah, that's never come up before, has it? Yeah, the capital of the Zebrans is Rome.
Okay.
25 episodes in and finding new and interesting ways to hurt weird.
Okay, right, okay, so... Yeah, Mr. Nazi Man, that apocalypse plan you got there sounds pretty nifty. Can we go now? Yes, sure.
And then he just no-clipped back into the sky. He must go now. His people need him.
Also, we incidentally find out that the Fallen's father is solid as snake.
Big old boss pony.
Then
what else did happen in that chapter?
I would like to just take another a short break to complain about the very end then nature of the story. I've recently come across a author, somebody giving writing advice who presented a much better articulation of like I was saying that a thing happens, but I think because is a much better way of abbreviating like the difference in like a good story versus a bad story. A good story, like every sentence is like every summarizing sentence is abbreviated with a because, whereas a bad story is defined by every descriptive sentence being abbreviated by and then.
Yeah, to try and articulate what I think I understand of what weird means is that, like, it's the difference between, like, having a story knit together by, like, natural organic consequences of actions versus just inane nonsense that happens because the author decided it would happen. Yeah, like, they meet Nazi Pony, and then Manticore's attack, and then Capitalism Pony shows up and saves
okay,
them.
There we are. I have tricked you! okay, so yeah, no, then they fight a mutant Manticore again, and they wind up washing up at the feet of Finders Keepers, yet another one of the, like, major faction leaders in the setting.
Just sort of around.
Gives them even more exposition and another silver bullet, which is a weird thing for him to do. Give them anything? Because we established that this man is a complete sociopath. like a nightmarish monster who was driven out of Ancapville for being true to the ideals of the vault. Like
he was kicked out of Ayn Randia for being too John Galt. Like
in a really inexplicable way, like present, like it's implied or perhaps even stated, I'm not clear that he was bought out of his position, but who would they buy it from, and why would he sell,
and why and how? Yeah, none of this makes any sense.
If we're to presume that like leadership in the vault was like due to controlling stakes, then like was he just outmaneuvered? Like why would he ever give up his, like a 50% controlling interest, which he would have had to have had if he was imposing like draconian insanity, like selling the air supply, like charging rent on the vault's air.
It literally only makes sense if you believe in like the invisible hoof of the market. Like it the only reason why he lost is because the free market just naturally course corrected away from his evil. It's the only way it works. It has no other explanation or other logic. You simply have to believe in pure unregulated free markets.
So articles of faith. It was smote by God.
Money God.
And lo, the hungering god Ma Ketz turned her blessings from him
to another. Yeah. Oh, he's the worst. I'm struggling to think about who's worse, him or Charity. Like, because Charity is supposed to be likable about her like evil capitalism. Like, we're supposed to be more on her side innately since she's a small child, but like fucking she's just as evil, just not nearly as comprehensively evil. She hasn't grown into it yet.
Well, I think it is entirely a matter of like scale of power. Also, like he's got apparently gone soft in his old age because he's like just giving shit away left and right. Free healthcare, free ammo for like Omega weapons. Like
he noticed the fact that Blackjack had like the main character protagonist tag. And was, like, beholden to give it to her. Like, it just a ding, just, like, Blackjack level 25 or whatever, main character. Like, oh, you should have this. It's a quest item.
Oh,
I can't use it.
He was trying to get back into the good graces of Ma Ketz! Praised be the invisible hand of Ma Ketz! Oh, sorry, the Ma Ketz!
The invisible hoof. Jesus.
Okay.
And then?
I don't know. I don't even know where they're going. I don't know what they're trying to do anymore. Are they still, like, trying to get into the center of... Okay, well, wait a minute. One important thing... two important things. One, it's... I guess it's possible Finders Keepers is... Three things. All right. It's possible Finders Keepers has gone soft because apparently the part of the hoof they're in is the part of the Goose Stepsville they're in literally operates on video game logic, and loot keeps respawning so that like they can just keep getting more and more vendor trash that like I guess like if you live in a video game world, so much vendor trash is like useful day-to-day shit. So another thing is at some point they have to expose Blackjack to another orb, and inside this memory orb somebody wanted to forget about that time they found evil devil metal, the same sort of evil metal that was in the bad vibes projection field device that they had to beat in a previous chapter. And it's so wacky and evil that, like, attempting to experiment on it at all will result in people's death. Third thing, before I forget, so as of this chapter, we officially confirm that, like, the story of, yes, there was a heroic adventuring party who were out to save the waste, but they all became terrible people because they were, broken and disillusioned on the terrible wheel of the waste, is entirely bullshit, entirely revisionist bullshit. It has to be.
Yep.
Within the setting.
Yep.
Because they're all fucking,
yep,
monsters. They're all,
yep,
they're all bad to the core.
The only one that was good was Dawn. She's the only one that gave a shit.
And she left to, like, marry Pony Robert E. Lee. Like, let's do a quick review of the contents of this party. Like, presumably good person. Lionized post-mortem, presumably. Who fell in love with Robert... Sky Nazi Robert E. Lee. Sure. We'll presume this was a person with good intentions.
Yes, I can say with certainty it was a character with good intentions. For once in a somber story.
Yeah, we'll get to that, I'm sure. Like, let's hold your small horses, Fi. Let's get a little bit further into the story and find out.
Oh man.
So that was the leader of this ragtag band of world saving heroes, and along with her, fucking Pony Charles Bronson.
Yes.
Who is just a murderer. who
yeah.
Who like has been sitting on his hands out of politeness, not committing, like, murder on, like, his friends, like his longtime friends, who has been, like, salivating for these Cassius Belli to come in and kill them all, and his gang of, like, cannibal rapists. That was one of them. Another one, what, Lord Awesome? The living embodiment of malicious narcissism.
Basically Pony Roosh V.
Yeah, no, that's certainly... And he called himself that back in the day, so it's not like his mind, like, snapped and he, like, regressed into a childish misogyny, like, after the fact. No, this... He was always a narcissist.
He went from Lord Awesome and then kinged himself King Awesome. And then set up slave plantations.
Yeah, great.
You know, like heroes do.
Then this motherfucker, whose backstory is he was kicked out of Rapture. Like, they wouldn't have him in the Undersea Kingdom of Bioshock.
For being too good at it.
And then lastly, fucking Zordon, who, like, who seems passive and polite enough, but mind you, when we're directly introduced to her, she apologizes for, well, you know, I might have kind of, sort of, been directly responsible for the bounty on your head. All of these murderers in my direct deploy going after you. Look, I didn't order them to come try and kill you and bring back the corpse. They just interpreted my wishes in a certain way. which, by the way, is how mob bosses operate. And
yes, like, just a little bit.
The death of your stable, your home, might have also been my whoopsie. I might have also been directly responsible for that. So, you know, she was also, yes, she was also the head of Project War Crime, like, directly responsible for the technology and perhaps even in the implementation that made creatures like Immortan Pone. Like, Deus and Gorgon were both, like, part of the same project that she was the head of.
Yes. Well, partly head of, yeah. Like, joint head. Specifics aren't important, but yeah, she directly led into creating Deus, specifically.
They're all monsters. they're
like... Yeah. We haven't even met Crunchy Carrots yet. I'm sure she's an asshole.
So yeah, there's that. That's an important revelation, is that, like, oh no, they're just disillusioned by the waste. Yeah, the illusion was the mask that they were wearing that they ever meant well. That was the illusion.
Whoops, we were always monsters.
But man, ugh. It's sickening that Somber really does think that these were heroes at any point in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
And then, further into the waste, where... actually, wait a minute. Nothing else happens. The only other thing that happens is in fucking Finders Keepers' little...
Well, we do get a cliffhanger as well at the end.
Well, before you tell me the cliffhanger, because I have no idea. It's completely beyond me. They run back into Usury. Correct me if I'm wrong. She was the... was it her or Caprice that owns Slut Town?
Caprice owns the Town of Ass. Usury is... It was Paradise, which was Slavers. It's also important to note, they have literally never met Usury before.
Okay. So Usury has a grudge against BJ, in spite of, like... them never having interacted directly or even indirectly.
Like, they've never been to her territory. Yeah, well, Usury, like they wiped out some slavers and that, like, contributed to her, like, entire operation falling apart, but they've never, ever interacted directly, even a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So she's, like, working for her dad again. Like, yep. Directly. Which must be, like, to some degree of a nightmare, because her dad is, you know, a monster. yeah, tries to kill her, and then, like, is disarmed by Blackjack's total disinterest in like, her own, like, sure, man, if that's what you feel like you gotta do.
Yeah, and then like, ruminates on, like, what does it mean to truly break a pony, which is a fucking worthless sentiment because we don't know or care about this character at all.
and then from there...
What does it mean to truly destroy Bob, this man I just met 15 minutes ago?
So, yeah, they walk away from that. By the way, interesting anecdote. I can say this strategy works in real life. With somebody who, like, threatens your life. Like, having or at least presenting total disinterest in your own life. It really takes the wind out of their sails. In a hard way. I actually did manage to talk somebody down who was, like, super very a lot on edge. No one else would or could deal with them, but I went down and talked to them, and they told me, like, no one will ever find your body. That's fine. I could kill you with my, like, yeah, no, I'm not in great shape. Like, you probably could. Don't doubt it. And, like, they just weren't prepared. I could kill you, man.
They...
Yeah, no, I believe you. Like,
they weren't prepared for apathy. Oh, man. We do kind of got to get a little bit of a move on.
Yeah, though. All right. So what was the cliffhanger then? Like...
The cliffhanger was that they were, like, going to track down Scotch and the rest of the crew. And when they find them again, they bump back into them and they find out they've all been captured by Steel Rangers and a big, giant, bulky, super Steel Ranger that's covered in, like, black metal armor with gold ornate, like... tracery shot, like, booms at them, basically.
So good news, we've, like, gotten to our destination. Everything is going precisely according to plan, as far as I can tell.
Basically. I guess I should, like, also, like, explain that we got a perk this week. BJ gets the perk Eye for an Eye, because, you know, she lost an eye and then had to have, like, a tumor removed from her eye socket. And it's given her the power that the more crippled and damaged she is, the more damage she deals. She's managed to harness the, like, broken bones and use them as a weapon.
So you see, the noodle arms give her extra torque. It's the same. I think the device is called an Otolotl, if I'm not like I can't remember what it's called, but before there was bows, there were spear throwers. Like it's a simple device. It's a simple machine that you can use to like. It's just a wooden like L shape. You put a spear in it, and like if you sort of make a swing motion using this like spear accessory, it will allow you to throw a spear much further. I assume the same principles are in her noodle limbs. Like if she like puts a little bit of a force? Snap on like
she can hoof whip them with her noodles. Damn it. Oh, man. So, I guess we should get on to this week's chapter, finally, and talk about this one. So, chapter 31, Battle, is what it's called. Okay. So, there is a mild disclaimer about this chapter. I don't entirely hate this, but it's gonna sound like I hate it for a while. because its opening sucks, but it gets pretty okay, and then kind of loses a lot of its momentum in the back half. So, we begin with them having a hoedown against these Steel Rangers. A lot of, like, trying to goad each other into, like, getting what they want, and then there's a lot of, like posturing against each other, where, like, this big giant armor pony is like talking in a super like archaic knightly fashion, and talks about like oath and honor and how he has to like eliminate Alicorns. That's why they've been taken captive, and the reason why everybody else has been taken captive is because like they tried to stop him from trying to take the Lacuna captive.
You're under arrest. What for? Resisting arrest.
Yes, basically. But he announces himself as Paladin Sugar Apple Bomb Stronghoof, the inheritor of the Stronghoof line. He's a giant bolsterous pony that's a total rip off of an anime character. So I
the
should
best
hate him
anime character, which is really aggravating.
So I can't bring myself to totally hate this character because like. Since he's an utter ripoff of a character from a much better property, like, he doesn't suck like all other, Project Horizon characters do. Like, he doesn't brood or fume or whine or complain about the, like, complex intricacies of the morality of the setting. He's just a big old dumb bruiser of a pony that punches people and talks majestically. So he's already get points in my book from that.
I can put up with it. Like I can do, like. To me, my favorite thing about Alexander Armstrong, from Full Metal Alchemist, which this is a ripoff of, which is this is a let's use the generous word a pastiche. My favorite thing about him is that he's not dumb. Like that's sort of the point.
Well, no, but like that. This is utterly, like, the Chud interpretation of this character.
Oh, yeah, like the smooth brain, like, aesthetic, like...
Yeah.
He must be dumb, because he's really loud, and, like...
Yeah, and he talks in a really, like, specific way, and he always announces his, like, family line, so he must be an idiot. But yeah, you are totally right, but, like, I still don't hate this character, because, like, it's nice to have, like, something
he's
with, like...
He's pure of heart.
Yeah. It's nice to have something that just has, like, color and, like, vibrancy in this fucking dour-ass story.
About pastel horses.
yeah. It's almost like this is a giant problem with this entire fandom. Which I'll get to later. So they managed to, like, convince him kind of to, like, go a little bit easy on this whole situation by, like, well, Blackjack saved a couple of them, so maybe they can work something out. And, like, BJ cottons on that, like, his honor doesn't permit him to do so. So she, like, challenges him to, like, a contest of strength. And whoever wins will, like, you know, be the can go or whatever. And they wrestle for a while. He flexes out of his armor because, of course, he does. They have a big old fight. He takes a dive, but we don't learn about this for a little while, but he takes a dive because he doesn't actually want to hurt them. Luckily, this is all decided relatively quickly, and then Raiders attack and just show up and bulldoze the scene, and they start fighting Raiders for a while.
And everything became less interesting when the Fire Nation
yes.
attacked.
And then the Fire Nation attacked, and then the Fire Nation attacked. We find out that, like, 21 has been assembling a plan B if BJ didn't win, of, like, basically building an IED. So he's got this big old fuck-off explosive that's just in the middle of, like, the fire station they're holed up in. And they have a sort of moment of, like, they're getting sworn by so many Raiders that, like, you know, Stronghoof is, like, gonna do the whole go on without me, I'll protect you as you make your escape. You know, it's on my honor that you're let go. But luckily they don't have to worry about that because a bunch of the Raiders get blown up into bits and, like, you know, triumphant Steel Rangers crest the hill. And it's the reinforcement cavalry. And they in booms a Steel Ranger that introduces himself as Star Paladin Steel Rain, who is like is an even more big fuck off like super ornate paladin armor, and like also has like anti-mortar guns. So I think there's a certain line that gets given by Blackjack in description that I think gives the game away a little bit. It's pretty clear that Somber super didn't want to have killed Deus so early, so Steel Rainers kind of are like Deus Light. He's functionally the same role in the story of an indestructible super bullshit mechanized pony with guns that can blow through a house, but like isn't a horrible rapist, which is like whatever. Okay. But like
you'd like not even having anywhere near as like that was Deus's only hook as a heel, like the like,
yeah.
And so without that, then, okay, he's a big guy who's an antagonist, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But they flag him down. They flag him down. And
But before you go on, I want to explain the thing that nearly killed me laughing just a moment earlier, which was that if this story were written by a competent author, what I desperately want to see is for this to happen two or three more times. That like two or three more times, this exact scenario repeats. The cavalry arrives, but another problem shows up. They're overwhelmed, and then the cavalry arrives with an even bigger, louder pony, and the final pony, who is our new antagonist, who is the new like main guy, where the trend ends. His name.
Okay.
And he's
let me get through the rest. Let me get through the rest of this chapter. Okay. It's not quite that, but it's pretty close to that. So, fucking they flag down Steel Rain because, you know, BJ wants to talk to him and try and get this whole war called off. And Steel Rain's like, oh no, I actually wanted this the whole time. Because rather than the normal edict of the Steel Rangers, which is to hoard technology so that no one can use it, I want to use it because I think it's super awesome to have guns and blow people up. I'm just an unrestrained sociopath who's been looking for an excuse to shoot a bunch of people with these mortar cannons. He's firmly convinced that like the Steel Rangers could just swarm over like a plague over the entirety of the rest of the Hoof and claim it in a night now that like the first like shot has been fired and the war has been opened up, because they're like they're calling in Steel Ranger chapters from all over. We've got Trottenham Steel Rangers and fucking Heartland Steel Rangers. None of this means anything to anyone besides me, but it's a big deal. They're all showing up because they're gonna do this big stomp, and they're like, you know, sorry, you're a little small, like, reconciliation isn't going to be enough to fix that, because I'm not going to let you live into this room. And that's when,
it's
like...
It's funny, because this is exactly what Germany thought twice in the same century.
Yeah. And then 21 is just like, I have a bomb that can level this whole building. You're going to let us go. Which admittedly is kind of a thing I like. That they just kind of slowly walk away from the IED. Because he's got like a detonator that's duct taped to him. And they just slowly back their way out from Steel Rain and his Rangers. And they kind of reconvene. But they don't have time to because there's still Raiders out there. But then the fucking Reapers show up. And they also descend down against the Steel Rangers like a plague. Rampage is there. A bunch of other named characters are there. It's a whole big shindig. But they realize that Scotch Tape didn't get out. So they don't want to try and like try to get everybody back in the building. But 21 is the best at stealth in the group. So they just sent him to go get Scotch Tape back to collect her into the inventory again, obviously. And then set off the IED, so they're going to blow up the Steel Rangers.
I want to interject. As long as our author is so obsessed with anime, let's talk very, very briefly about an extremely bad anime with a single, like, really compelling episode.
Okay.
Gate. Gate is,
oh, Christ.
Is bad garbage. But there is actually one, like, quarter of an episode that is incredibly interesting to watch, which is feudal lords sieging a modern military encampment.
That sounds awesome.
Like there's a whole scene of like the politicking and backbiting of who gets to lead the great cavalry charge against these otherworldly invaders. And everybody who won that like dispute, won that political battle, is utterly eradicated. They don't even make it to the barbed wire. Like, just like it's grotesque and, like, chuddy, and sort of a symptomatic of, like, everything else that's wrong about the show. But it is kind of interesting to, like, see a construction of what it would look like for medieval cavalry. Like, fully armed and armored, like, the best that the world can, a world of that kind can provide against modern warfare, like, innovations.
It's one of those, like, oh, this is what a tech difference looks like.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have iron when everybody else has bronze. Neat.
No, but magnitudes about, like...
well, yeah, of course, but,
Dan Carlin, Hardcore History, has an interesting video where he... Or, sorry, podcast. An interesting bit of audio where he talks about, like... It's kind of weird that, like, you can actually take two armies from just about any point in human history, except for the 20th century. They match up pretty well. Like you could pick Caesar against Napoleon, and Caesar stands pretty good odds.
Falls apart the moment, like, modern weaponry shows up.
But past World War I, man, like, nothing it's all toast. And then, like, you take a 1930s army versus a 1950s army, and the 1930s army does not stand a ghost of a chance. So anyway, this all comes to mind because it makes the Reapers funny again some more. The Reapers come in and swarm like a... They pour over the Steel Rangers like locust. Uh-huh. How they do that? They're super high level operators, man. They're just real good. Uh-huh. And these remind me again, what do the Steel Rangers have? Airships, power armor, long distance mortars.
They have a battleship out in the fucking bay. Yeah. They have a battleship in the fucking bay that's fully operational. Like, yeah.
Could spot and eradicate them on the horizon.
The only excuse that's even remotely like given to this is that there is a staggering number of, because it's not just the Reapers. It's literally every Reaper, every gang, every freed slave they could hand a gun is being thrown at the Rangers right now. And even then, that really wouldn't actually change the odds that much. But at least there's some narrative explanation for, like, to how this makes sense at all, and that the Largic is just fucking an endless army of fucking assholes with, you know, strapped in leather with guns. Like, eventually the Rangers have to run out of ammo.
And then they just wade through them in robotic death suits. virtually invulnerable to harm.
Yeah. Well, there's a handful of weapons that can cut through steel Ranger armor, but I'm not getting into that argument with myself and subsequently also the fandom.
Yeah, no, for the purpose of continuing on, I'm just gonna go ahead and like buy into the stupidity of like, no, dude, they're just high level operators, man. Like, the best excuse I can headcanon is like what I've sort of headcanoned for, like, if I were to try and write this setting, which is the Reaper's main advantages, they're all freaks. Like, they have, like, the Reapers have the highest concentration of pre-war mutants and results of, like, various, like, wildly unethical military super soldier experiments.
See, I thought you meant freaks, like, they were all basically main character level, like levels of bullshittery.
Yes, no, that's what I mean, is that they have like two or three origin stories apiece.
I can't beat that many origin stories. Think of how much plot armor that gives them.
I'm the clone of history's perfect soldier and also trained by ninjas. I am a cyborg and a wizard. and born under the Doom Star. So I've got three.
I hate that, like, the Reapers were originally billed as that. Like, they were sold as that in the sense that they were all supposed to be, like, cybernetic'd up the wazoo. But then, like, I guess just Somber didn't want so many, like, Deus-like characters in the story, so he just cuts that entirely out from this point, which is fucking dumb. Bad way to cut a promo.
Dumb, bland, like...
uninspired. But anyways,
because then I'd be invested in this fight. That's an interesting fight, like a like regimented.
There are interesting. There is an interesting takeaway, at least in my opinion. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, it's all right.
They hide in like a fucking gift shop or something while they're trying to get this to blow over. And then the fucking Manticores and the Manticore mutant pony just fucking crash into the scene. So we've got
the chapter. Things weren't this like stupidly chaotic since like that shootout in the old West Town. Like, is this the final chapter? Is this the final chapter of
the
book?
No, it's not. It's not a final chapter of the book. It's the climax.
Okay, so it is still a denouement. Like, we'll have like some epilogue chapters after this.
It's like this, and then part two of it, kind of.
This kind of came out of nowhere. Like, Somber just got bored and said, all right.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing I was going to say about what I like about this, is it reminds me a lot of the, like, raw, chaotic energy that I liked a lot of, like, the end of book one. It's this big, crazy, mad scramble where, like, the you know, the music would be playing kick high tempo and fucking everything's just going all loose. Like, it's just, like, five different armies are all running into each other while this is happening. Like, so when they're like fighting the Manticores and the Rangers, fucking Rampage just falls out of the building on one of the Rangers and is like tearing them apart with a chainsaw. Fucking bouncing around between Manticores and shit. It's the most she's ever done in this fucking story. But Rampage then like catches sight of BJ, and since they left on pretty bad terms, and also Rampage has got standing orders to murder BJ if she doesn't, like, listen and join the Reapers. So she pounces BJ, and they kind of go at it a little bit.
Oh, man, I'm so disappointed. I guess I don't have, like...
Why is that?
Well, because it means that I don't even have the remotest idea of what this character is supposed to be.
Rampage?
Yeah.
Oh, it's about to get dumber. We gotta get to the denouement of this fucking chapter in part two. Where this all comes off the rails.
Man, well, before it gets dumber, let me real quick, like, try and quickly summarize. Like, if Rampage were remotely an interesting character, like, she would be so anti-authority and so, like...
Well, she is.
She would, like, just so... Hey! just, like, wave.
She kind of does both, is what I was about to get at. She's like, I don't actually give a shit, and I just kind of want to, like, fight you. Because you pissed me off in a previous chapter.
Worst of both worlds. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to take what you can get with this story. The thing I don't like about this, though, is they basically square off, and then Glory is like threatening to kill and reduce her to ash again. And then like BJ is like, "You were right, Rampage. We can't just memory wipe Scotch because she's still afraid of robots, and she can't perform her functions even though we removed her memories." And like Rampage is like, "See, I told you," which kind of like I don't like because it sucks the like controversy, I guess, out of that whole section of the memory removing, because there's like now a clear, definitive good and bad decision, and they made the wrong call. And
rather
they,
than
and,
like something with an actual interest, which would be like she's better. Like,
yeah, you were wrong, Rampage. Like, I know you don't have memories and you hate that, but like, yeah, she's okay. You're just gonna have to deal with that. But no, Rampage is just correct. But yay, Rampage joins the party again, because like after that squabble's over, she's like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't really give a shit about anything that's happening right now." But this all happens, and then the mutant Manticore shows up, and BJ like basically goes like, "Oh, you're one of the old marauders, aren't you? Just, you know, come back and mutant up," because that was what Gordon and Deus was. And she's like, "No, I'm just a different soldier that's completely unrelated." Oh, there's going to be so much I'm going to have to cut from this. Oh, man. By the way, audience, however much I decide to leave in of weird laughing just now, keep like it was probably about three times as long. So you're going to be all right there, weird.
Okay. All right. And then what?
And then what happens? The only character in my opinion in this entire thing that gets an actual like proper promo cut fucking shows up. We're like, Mutant Pony's like, "Hey Fury, get in here," and like another one of the mutants that Sanguine has shows up, and she is super checked out, and I love her for it. She's just completely disinterested in what's fucking going on. She hates that she has a code name. She mocks literally everybody in the room. BJ like tries to like square her off to get her to stop walking at her, and she just nonchalantly walks up to BJ and she's like, "Yeah, swear at me, call me a fucker, that's gonna make this go away." And then she just fucking explodes, like she just turns into a ball of plasma and just blows up the room, which apparently she's completely unharmed from, and she's just like, "I can just keep doing that," basically. And I love everything about this character. Like, I forgot about this character on a second read-through because, like, I just, like, missed the scene, apparently. But I love this setup of just this, like, "Oh, yeah, fuck you. I can't die. Nothing you can do can hurt me. I don't give a shit. Like, fucking, I give less a shit than Rampage does. She's also immortal." And she can explode into fire. Like, she's a fucking Metal Gear boss.
Like, she's Captain Marvel. Like...
Yeah, she just, like, so, like, her and Rampage just fucking rip into each other, and it's fucking this awesome, ridiculous slobberknocker that we barely get to see, because, like, other shit just has to happen in this chapter, but they're just, like, neither of them can do anything to each other, so, like, they're just ripping chunks out of each other, and it's awesome. It's my favorite thing in this whole story so far. It's an objectively good thing that, like, there's this other ridiculous, apathetic immortal that's just fuck you to everybody. But she's on the bad guy side, so she just gets to do whatever. And it's awesome. But, yeah, fuck, we get that interrupted by, like, Rampage and her tumbling out into the street and the rest of them getting out of the building because they get Scotch tape back. And they just fucking, like, level part of the fire station. And just to, like, pour more gasoline on this whole fucking thing, a fucking tank rolls into the fucking, like square, and it's all painted up like a zebra, and it, like, roars and everything. And it starts chasing Blackjack, and they have to fucking blow it up with an imp grenade.
Okay.
It's so fucking nuts, like, there's just...
This battle is the most and then... it has ever.
But it's like, I actually love it.
At least it's like, yeah, at least like, I can see with the right comic timing, this being actually like really brilliant. Like,
yeah, like every time they deal with like, okay, no, this is the end boss of this scene. And then another fucker shows up who's twice as big as the last guy. It's like, fucking, you know, fucking anime bad guy, then fucking super tank dude shows up, and then fucking mutant ponies and a fucking walking atomic bomb shows up, and then a tank just rolls in. Like, how nuts is this scene? I love it so much, and it so disappoints me that I get to talk about the rest of the chapter, which isn't nearly as fun. But yeah, they have this big blowout. They manage to, like, you know, get Lacuna and everyone together, and they just bamf out of the fucking scene after, like, knocking out the tank's, like, automated system, so it just gets
stuck.
Use
item, escape rope.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath and remind our audience, if you have any medication, consider taking that. This isn't a really heavy chapter or anything like that. It's just, you know, keep that in mind. If you haven't had any water recently, go get hydrated. Take a nap if you need to. Go out for a run. It's probably a nice day wherever you are. If it's not a nice day, I don't know, consider exercising in your house. But anyways, so the only smash cut in this chapter happens where they smash cut to a bar where everything cools off. And I wish this energy and momentum was kept up, but it's not. They talk about like this going down, and like, okay, what the fuck just happened? Like, everything just tumbled down on us. And, like, Lacuna just, like, announces that, like, the fucking goddess is going wild, because apparently all sorts of shit is happening around the waist right now. This is all stuff from Fallout Equestria. Basically, like, the 75% mark, like, one of the major climaxes of Fallout Equestria is happening right now that coincides with the story. So that's why, like, everything is fucking falling apart. They decide what the fuck is going on, and they're convinced that, like, there's some curse. Like, it has to be some bullshit that's chasing after them at this point. Oh, this is where the chapter gets dumb, though. Okay, so they hang out in this bar for a while, and they read some paper clippings that are, like, you know, events about the bar or whatever, and it talks about, like, one of the things that happened to the Marauders is, like, it turns out that, like, Twist, one of the members of the Marauders, was in a romantic relationship with a zebra, and that was a big scandal, and it, like, you know, fucked up the Marauders really badly, because it discredited them quite a bit, because they were already on, like, thin ice, because their, like, commanding officers kept getting killed under mysterious means. But the BJ recognizes both of the names as two different distinct personalities that Rampage has, and this is where it starts getting super dumb. They have a big conversation about this, and when, like, they announce the names, like, Rampage is, like, kind of starts alternating into other personalities really weirdly, and, like, starts freaking out, and they, like, come to the conclusion about, like, what's going on with Rampage, is that, like, Rampage, because, like, Lacuna also, like, looks into her because she can do this, that, like, Rampage is, like, a weird gestalt entity of, like, a bunch of souls that are all crammed into one body, and, like, Rampage herself is essentially, like, the overlap of all of the different personalities laying over each other, and all the, like, memory loss and problems are caused by, like, the conflicting identities gaining some control or upper hand over each other. It's ridiculously stupid. It's dumber than I remember it being, because it's just kind of, like, The way they come to this conclusion is so nonsensical, because they're just like, oh yeah, that probably makes sense, and everyone just kind of, like, nods their heads in agreement. And, like, because theory, circumstances, and mythology are all inherently, like, correct in a sci-fi or fantasy story like this, they have to be correct.
Welcome
just
to Doth Merengi's dark place.
I know directors should use subtext, they're all cowards. But everything about them about her is inherently like this. And it also gets, like, we get a double drop that we also, like, find that, like, Huna is also a, like, gestalt entity for different reasons. And I dug through a bunch of the writing and tried to figure out, because, like, BJ just knows this, And I think that weird, like, dream vision quest that she had where she put Lacuna back together was supposed to be the tip-off that this is what happens, but there's never a discussive, even, like, the barest theory about this, what this is. So in both cases, Rampage is a bunch of souls that are overlapped and are now a conflicting personality made of those different parts, which is, like, one of them's a baby killer, so that's why, like, she has baby killer tendencies sometimes. And in the case of Lacuna, Lacuna is like a hole where like she's basically was like a blank slate that like emotions and memories were put into by the goddess for some mysterious reason. So they're like similar but different in distinct ways. But like there's no explanation to how they come to these like the realization with Lacuna. We're supposed to know this all along, and the only way I could possibly surmise this is that you know a bunch of things from Fallout Equestria, which like it hasn't really hinged on like intricate knowledge about the goddess up to this point, so it's just super confusing. It's like a scene's missing entirely is what it feels like to me. Regardless, they kind of have a conversation about it. Rampage is like starts having the big like, am I even real? Like, am I a real person? Is there a real identity between all these like all these associated personalities? They
if
she
I weren't
slips
a jukebox
into
within our kayfabe, like I would be making the jerk off gesture again.
Yeah, it's pathos that's like unrewarded or undeserved. But she also slips into another personality for a while, and we get to learn about the psychiatrist that's in her brain named Dr. Octopus. He elucidates that like all of her like medical like pertinent medical knowledge and stuff has all been coming from like this identity, so there's at least like an explanation to why she could do all this dumb medical shit that she shouldn't be able to do, and why like I mentioned before that she's technically a trained psychologist or psychiatrist. But so yeah, they have a conversation with him for a while, and he like diagnoses what's going on to like reconfirm what's happening. They chat with Scotch and like debrief on what the fuck happened in the fire station, because everything went pretty tits up. And she, like, swears that, like, a weird dragon pony saved her, and she doesn't know what's up with that. Fuck. This has been an all, like, a crazy, crazy mess. But, Rampage also, like, elucidates that, like, the only reason why she's been added to the story back again, basically, is that she, like, knows the area and can, like, map it out pretty well. So she, like, like through a combination of, like, memories that knew the area combined with, like, her current self being around this area before, like kind of like sketches out like where they're supposed to go from here. So that's cool and all. Then they like leave the bar. Yeah, they leave the bar, and they along the way they find Trottenheimer's old labs called Horizon Labs. And Bijan's like, oh, cool, I can finally get some answers, and then finds that the building's been, like, bombed out. But luckily, there's, like, a train station underneath it, or that's nearby that's underneath it that they can get into through a different access. So they go through there. They find out there's, like, a fucking hilarious amount of taint radiation down there for some reason, so only her and Rampage can go, because, like, she just, you know, BJ's gonna die anyway, so, like, what's more taint gonna do to her? And Rampage is immune to this stuff, so it doesn't matter. But before that, the Rampage manages to call 21 out for, like, refusing to be a dad, basically out of stubbornness, and, like, I don't know, I've said my feelings on that before, but I feel like
yeah,
it's kind of a weird...
Fuck B20. Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck him. But yeah, he leaves in a huff. BJ equips a hazmat suit. They find another silver bullet, but it's broken. It's been, like, cracked open, and they manage to, like, so they finally get to see what's on the inside of one of these silver bullets. And it's, like, basically the rainbow goo that makes that taint. And then inside that is, like, a weird, bright, glowing white core of a mysterious material that, like,
the
hurts to be
material?
Near. It's a different mysterious material.
God fucking... fucking...
Yeah.
God damn it! Hey, kids! Keep your unobtainiums to a minimum.
Yeah, we're up to 3 by this point in this story.
Fuck!
Because we're up to taint, which was from the original story, so that doesn't count, really. Demon metal, as Weird called it earlier, and, like, white stone, basically, is its own thing. So that's a whole fucking shebang. But anyways, they find they like as they're trolling through the area, there's like weird like it sounds initially like it's like voices that are being like recorded on a loop playing through the speaker system, and then they realize that like they're coming from a particular source. And like as they're walking through the building, they're starting to find that like the walls are all weird and warped, and the whole like building is very bizarre and nonsensical. And as they get to the core of where the source of this noise has come from, we get to our next cliffhanger, shabams, where like a wall made of pony meat is like moving and writhing, and like hooves are like dragging out of it, and like faces are screaming out of it, and they like start trying to talk to Blackjack, and like that's our cliffhanger for the chapter.
It's a bad scene, man.
Yeah, it is a bad scene.
Okay.
So got any notes for me?
Only that, like, I've made some notes to the side of my sketchbook. I very much plan to see if I can maintain the stamina to actually draw this, because it's like without context, it's I think it's a hilarious scene that really needs to be preserved and put into media of blam 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 crash. Aha! Behold, fools! I am Starmancer. I have come to capture you. Poof! Blam, blam, blam! Behold, fools! I am Skull Crusher, and I have come to cap. Blum, 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 blum! Blah, blah, blahs. I am Rigger, and I have come to. Blam, blam, blam! Blah, blah, blah! Blah, blah,
If you're just tuning in, folks, this has been our radio play within our podcast. A podcast within a podcast.
Just becoming increasingly bass-boosted and incomprehensible.
Laser eyes everywhere. Everything gets increasingly more deep-fried. Christ.
Beyond that, like, oh, man. I had something else to say, but I'm mostly just stuck on, like, that scene that like, didn't happen in the story. Like, oh, yeah, no, the only other thing I had to say is that it actually is kind of a shame if... If Rampage were a more interesting character, more in line with, I guess, my tastes, she wouldn't have had anything to do with any of the, like, existing sides. Or maybe we could be introduced to a new character who showed up because, like, whoa, what? Who are you? Why are you trying to kill us? Well, it just seems to be the thing to do. Like, I just saw all the fighting and didn't want to be left out.
I think it's like the best I could have gotten out of a somber written scene with Rampage in it. I will say I fucking hate that she's like a weird like nonsensical soul goo. Like she's like a soul. I don't know. Like a fucking. I was gonna say jar, but like that's not even. It's like a bunch of jars just thrown together into like a fucking. It's like a fucking cooler full of soul juice.
There's interesting things you could do with a Gestalt entity. None of them are done with Rampage.
No, not even slightly. No.
Like, if you're, like, it's a potentially interesting idea, but she wouldn't have amnesia. She would just be extremely difficult to interact with.
Like, yeah, because like she'd have so much interacting, overlapping stuff.
Because, like, she only part of the time like consents to the idea that she's a Reaper. Like, would be an interesting thing, for example. Like, it's not that it's not that she has amnesia. It's just that like the current dominant combination of memories, like you don't know who you're interacting with, and it wouldn't like the thing that would make it interesting is that there wouldn't be like linear or coherent divides between the personalities. Like, at any given moment, you could be, like, speaking to somebody who, like, has the disposition of a psychiatrist, but the, like, job identity of a police officer.
You're not wrong. The sort of, like, best we ever get is, like Rampage, like, quick cycling through her identities to, like, solve problems, which is kind of interesting in itself, but, like, not handled particularly well in the story because, like, she's like what the like fourth in line main character, so she has like no screen time.
I think the biggest problem with Somber trying to write a character like this is that he's a chud. and like,
yeah,
so
you're not wrong.
Not only incapable of, but almost certainly deeply contemptuous of nuance. And Chuds typically like really rebel and struggle with the idea of identity being a fluid concept. That like his Chud brain requires things, particularly something like identity, to be like a rigid concept that is binary in its manifestation, where like memory and every person is a ship of Theseus. Like very few people are the same person in any meaningful way they were a decade prior. Are just some examples of real world, like how this works. And if you want to get deeper into it, there's stuff like split brain patients, people who have had brain surgery that cuts off the ability of their left and right hemispheres of their brain to communicate directly.
Yeah.
Meaning that those hemispheres of the brain have to communicate indirectly through like a kludge work of like them having to sort of interact to solve problems and interact with other people, which in some unfortunate cases means that the brain plasticity doesn't catch up correctly, and you wind up with somebody who like has to have help getting dressed because while they button up their shirt with one hand, the other hand is unbuttoning it.
Mm-hmm. There's also that like super famous case of Phineas Gage, the like guy who got a railroad spike through his head. He basically just became a completely different person because of that event.
It also happened to famous comedian Sam Kinison.
I didn't know that one.
As a child, he was hit by a car, and he went from like a pretty well-behaved church boy to Sam Kinison.
But yeah, the thing I wanted to talk about before we move on, though, is that Lacuna is also kind of like this, but for different reasons and different periods. Like I've talked often.
Yeah,
we've already talked about
on the cast, like the boring and dumb like misunderstanding of hive minds that she represents.
But with a certain like extra pin on it that like Lacuna represents a character who's like no spoilers, but there is a declaration about this character that's made that makes her far more fascinating because like how she's a gestalt entity is really cool, and then it's utterly ruined by a later revelation that I forgot about and had like a fucking like shouting match with somebody on the forum once about, because I'm like, no, this is how she works, and someone's like, no, that's not how she works because this is what happened, and I remember that scene and remember that like, oh yeah, Sombra's a hack, and even his like cool ideas are smothered by his dumb ideas. But we'll get into that in like a couple chapters about how Lacuna actually works, and at least from like what I thought for a while, she's interesting, and then she's ruined like everything else is. So look forward to that. Look forward to like exciting things squashed out for no reason.
Yay, man! Fuck. Is there anything more interesting we could be reading?
I wish. So I haven't had a whole bunch of time to like read anything terribly new, a kind of, not a recommendation, but like a thing at least talking about because it was recommended to me. I was recommended two different stories over the last like 2 weeks, and I've been trying to chew through them. And I want to issue a formal retraction of a previous one where I was talking about this with Weird before we started up the podcast this week that like,
and I was playing ignorant for the sake of the
anyway. I read up to a certain point in the previous one I recommended, and then the story hit a brick wall at Mach 4 and never came back, where it was a pretty interesting story that was kind of getting a little bogged down with the story constantly having to, like, realism, like, basically realism mansplain to me all the time. Like, oh yeah, this is how surgery works, and this is why surgery doesn't make any sense in a horse world, and this is why these guns work, and it was getting kind of annoying, but it wasn't too bad. And the story just careens off a cliff when like a character that was previously established is revealed to like be a military sergeant, and there's a whole military faction that he's part of, And when I say military, I mean it with all the vitriol I can possibly muster. Because it's not like a shadow of the... It's not the cargo cult shadow reimagining of a military from the perspective of a post-apocalyptic wasteland trying to reinterpret like the military from the past. It's a carbon copy of the fucking American current modern military in terms of dress, at like tactics and weapon usage. And it's the most jarring, indescribably unfun, uncool thing to add into your story is just a giant masturbatory scene over how cool the American military is, especially in our current political climate. How fucking offensive that is to me personally is it cannot be understated. But so that's that. I'm de-recommending what was it even called, The Chrysalis.
All right, so we've issued our first major attraction on the recommend section. please show your support by liking and subscribing by whatever service you're listening to us through. We definitely need your thumbs up and stars. iTunes still isn't giving us a official rating level because not enough people have put stars on it. Need more comments. We need some retweets on Twitter. Fi has a Twitter at Thou Art Fi. That's THOU ART FHI.
No, it's PHI. PHI. Weird is melting.
And you can follow me. It should be linked in the description. At Weirdington. It looks like it's sent me at Weirdington E. That's weird. Mm. Anyway, at Weirdington Esquire. We're gonna have Patreon up soon, but like because none of you motherfuckers like and subscribe, we have no idea how many people would be willing to contribute to that. It is incidentally my birthday today, so keep that in mind. I'm hoping to have that Patreon all kitted out by next week. So if you have any spare money, you can maybe start contributing to that. We will have some reward tiers up for you.
We'll do donation episodes.
Some income by October, I will be homeless and then shortly after that dead.
That's not a joke, by the way. That isn't a kayfabe or a joke. Like Weird actually needs that money by that point. Like you don't. We're not doing a goof.
But we've got to earn it from you. I feel pretty morally convicted in that, and so I want it to be pretty decent. Want to have some pretty okay rewards for the various levels. The Patreon won't just be for this podcast. It'll be for making the monkey dance. Like it'll be for like you getting an opportunity like as a community to. Get me to do things for you, like for example, comics related to the podcast, perhaps, or completely unrelated readings. If you want me to read famous memes or do full readings of short fanfics, I do hope that I do have something of a noteworthy vocal range. I could amuse you with. But if that would amuse you, please tweet me, retweet and comment on Fi's link on his Twitter when he posts the podcast. But yeah, no, show us your support. Hell, show us your hatred. Like we want to know how people are responding to this.
So I think that's all that said, that's everything, isn't it?
Even if it does work out, even if they do love us and if they do come together to fucking end of It's a Wonderful Life on me. I still think this is probably all been a terrible mistake.